Call to order the February 9th, 2005 meeting of the Oceana Community Services District Board. May I have a roll call, please?
President Hill.
Here.
Vice President Vance.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Brokaw.
Here.
Director Dahl.
Here. Please join me in the flag salute. Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Brings us to item three on the agenda, board member items for discussion. Dave, do you have?
I don't have anything.
Nothing at this point.
We have nothing?
Nothing.
Okay. Item four is public comment. Any member of the public can address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. The general public comment should be limited to things that are not on tonight's agenda, because on each of the agenda items for tonight, the public will have a chance to address those specific items that are on the agenda at that time. Also, since there's a lot of people in the audience tonight, we'd like to hold the commentary to 3 minutes to give everyone a chance to speak that wishes to do so. So I have my little three-minute clock here, and I'm going to try to hold the discussion to 3 minutes at a time, if you would, please. So with that, is there any member of the public that wishes to address the board? Next.
Max Padilla, Channel Market.
Mr. President, with your permission, can I briefly translate what you just said to the people in the public as far as the comment and the time that they have to give comments and only to discuss what's on the agenda?
Con el permiso de los que están presentes, el presidente Hill ha dicho que el comentario del público es limitado a 3 minutos y nomás se puede platicar o hablar de lo que está estipulado en la agenda de ahora. Si tienen problemas, pero aquí es cuando uno puede hablar. Yo voy a hablar de 3 temas y esos temas van a ser del programa que está aquí en la agenda de bilingüe para televisar y eso de un programa nuevo que tienen ellos.
Mr. President, I have, with the board's permission, your permission, 3 comments to make. One being the bilingual position that is open for the water, for the office here. As you can tell, there's a lot of concern in the community on it, and the concern is that they feel that it's time to hire somebody that's bilingual. We had this ad hoc meeting, and at this meeting, the requirements were given to us, and they're a little difficult to meet, I think. But I took some applications out and put them out in the community. The other is that, as you can tell, we have some folks here who can barely get around. We have some seniors here that would like to see the meetings televised. At this point here, some of these folks took the time to get here, to come here, but as you well know, that they would like to get them televised because at home, even though they're in English, there is some of the children that speak English that are bilingual, and it would help them out. And I think it would help this committee, because this way, at least at this point here, we would not have to translate these meetings while these people attended here, or if they listened to them at home. The other issue that I would like to mention, and I don't want to take anything away from Mike, because I think it's important, that program was served. If I may say something on it briefly, there was a flyer that was put out, and it was translated in Spanish. We haven't put it out yet, but we finished the translation on it. But I think it's important because I think it's a program that the community can get involved with. They can take part, in helping and help the fire department in case of emergencies. They can get involved. And there's a training by the CERT of San Luis Obispo, which costs us $20, by the way. And it's something like, well, it costs us $20 for a package that they give you, and then you go through a training classes that you go through or a particular program that you go through, which is very important. And that's one thing that I'd like to mention to the folks here today. And if I may say that in Spanish, I'll say it briefly, and I'll get off the podium here. Lo que ha mencionado es que hay un gran interés en la comunidad de que tengamos personas en la oficina bilingüe. Y por eso estamos aquí hoy. Para enseñarle a la mesa ejecutiva que estamos, que necesitamos a alguien. Y otra cosa que es muy importante es que estas juntas que las van a televisar, para que esas personas que no pueden venir aquí, personas incapacitadas, personas ancianas, que puedan escuchar en sus casas. Porque sabemos bien que en las casas hay personas que sí hablan inglés. Los niños son las personas que sí hablan inglés y en español y les pueden ayudar a los padres a entender lo que está pasando en estas juntas. Tenemos un programa que ha salido que se llama CERT. Es un programa para ayudar a la comunidad, donde está apoyado por los bomberos de Oceano, por el Sheriff Department, y es para entrenar a la gente en caso de una emergencia. Si hay un fracaso, estén preparados para ayudar a su vecino o para ayudar a los bomberos, para poder comunicarse con esa gente. La otra cosa que es muy importante, si tienen algo que decir ahora, si les han incrementado el costo de su agua, ahora es cuando es que deben decir algo, por favor. Thank you.
Thank you, Max. Robert?
Evening, all. Robert Gordon Oceano. Just have three really brief things. Number one, I'd like to just ask these out for you guys. It's a notice from the county about the drainage dam over there. They're hopefully going to find them and have them reduce it or whatever. That's meaningless, really. I'd just like to say that if these meetings are televised, I think it would be a great service to the community. And if they're not, I think it would be a great disservice to the community. I also think that having somebody bilingual at OCSD would help the community rather than hinder the staff load. And that's it. Just want to let you guys know.
Thank you. Other comment? Okay.
Hi, good evening. I like to guys
state your
ad.
Name and
Sharon Williamson, Oceano resident.
Thank you.
Your ad was a step in the right direction. It showed that you guys can really act expediently when you guys want to. The one thing that I brought up at the ad hoc meeting was that you guys should put in there, instead of preferred, you should put mandatory. And there were some things saying that you couldn't do that, but I brought in one ad that just came out, and it's for a different position. It says that it's for an English-Spanish worker, and it says that they must be fluent in English and Spanish, demonstrated by writing, reading, and speaking. And it can be done. And that's what I was trying to let you guys know. So it's in black and white here, so you guys can see that. Another thing that I brought up in the last meeting was the office translator. And the web address for that is www.sistransoft. It's sistransoft.com. And it's $149, and it will take the Microsoft Office that you're already using and translate it into an agenda if you need to have that translated. And that's a good price, $149, and you can see what it does, and it double checks it, spell checks and all that. Then with your bilingual help, you can have her read it over, and you know she'll tell you that it makes sense or it doesn't make sense. With the bilingual, and back to the Aleatory Services Act, you guys are fall into the criteria now that you're opening a new position with the OCSD, that it's not, you know, the position has to be filled by a Spanish speaker because of the public outpouring of that, and you guys no longer fall under the authority that you can no longer afford it. You can't afford it, and so now, you know, it's just take care of that situation. It makes a lot of sense to be able to tell your community what they're paying on their water bill. The agendas for another thing, if they request them, it would be easy enough to just translate it and ask her to proofread it. It's not that much more in the job description to do that. But it just goes to show what can be done when the board, you know, takes speeding action on an issue. And I don't know about, you know, the rest of the community, but I'm pretty satisfied that you guys are going to continue to do the right thing and, you know, work on issues like drainage. You know, that is a bigger issue, you know, for the future, too. If we're going to be growing the way that we are growing, the drainage is really important. Bilingual can be taken care of by just a new staff hire, and since you guys are hiring that person, I would consider that to be, you know, open and shut now. So let's move on to another one. Another thing that I just wanted to make a comment on, it's, you know, that needs to be, you know, a motto for the Oceana residents, is that, you know, resolution, not revolution. If we work towards issues with, you know, instead of so much criticism and so much, you know, this has to be done and this has to be done, look to it with resolution and not, you know, as though it's a revolution, and you'll see a lot more things getting done here in Oceano. But thank you for your time, Mr. Hill, Mr. President Hill. Thank you.
Thank you. I can't promise that we can do anything about drainage due to our jurisdiction other than represent the views of the community, but I appreciate your sentiment.
Hello, host. Francisco Chavez, 1631 15th Street. I just want to say you guys are doing a wonderful job. I'm under construction right now, but there is one thing I have to accomplish right now is the meters went up, so over 100% in our street. I mean, I have most of my neighbors right here. Their bill increased it was $65. It went up to 142 within no time. I had the OCSD crew working on my meter today because they had to lower it down, and they did a wonderful job. All I have to say is that the meter was not reading what it was supposed to, and they changed it. But some of my neighbors did have the increase too. So there's something that we definitely need to take a good look at and read it carefully, because, I mean, the increase was a lot. And I have just three kids, my wife and I. I mean, it's not like we spend a lot of water, more than usual. And there's a good point right there that should be considered.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Somebody can look into that.
It's already done.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know about his neighbors now. I mean, I know about him. I've never heard. That's another neighbor. These people just want to come into the office and we can just, you know, go out and check their meters.
Buenas tardes, mi nombre soy Fernando Merino Chávez. Vivo en la calle 15, 1621, en la 15. Yo lo que les quiero comentar, yo nunca había asistido a alguna junta como ahora. Tengo varios años yo viviendo, rentando en apartamentos, casas. Tengo yo aproximadamente desde el 80 viviendo en Oceano. Creo que son varios años lo que ha vivido en Oceano y nunca se ha visto nada sobre que se acomode Oceano. Gracias a Dios he comprado yo mi casa, tengo yo mi casa, pero la calle está muy mal, malas condiciones, porque se me mete el agua cada vez que llueve. Esa calle quedó mal. Entonces, ahora que está la mesa aquí directiva, quiero dar mi comentario, que es lo que se puede hacer, porque ha habido muchos problema con el agua. La calle no está bien. Entonces, pues, aquí el señor Max, este es el que puede interpretar lo que les he platicado yo.
He must be the pastor for him. In brief, now I'd like to mention that I'll do my best in translating exactly what this gentleman has said, but we do have a professional translator in the house that is that we're pleasure to have here. I just want to take this opportunity to do it this time, and perhaps next time he'll help us out, because I know that he's a professional at doing this, and he's given us a lot of moral support, and he's here to help us out if we need him. And his name is Eduardo Rivera. He's present here tonight. What this gentleman is saying is he lives on Pastor Robles Street, and he gave the address. Says that he bought a home in, 5 years ago here in Oceano, and he's never been to these meetings. And he's happy to be here. And he wanted us to stress that the problem that he's having is the flooding on the street there. Perhaps the sidewalk or something, and the water just goes right into his yard, it goes into his front yard, and then eventually gets into his door and inside his house.
And I'd like to mention, I'm sorry to interrupt, I'd like to mention that he's my next door neighbor, and I am doing the approach and sidewalk in my property right now. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to have to extend to where it's supposed to go. It's going to change things around, because where they have this, the curve, they said that it was just a temporary curve, which is made out of asphalt, and that is going to change everything. As soon as I put my sidewalk where it's supposed to go, all these people, they're going to have certain problems. I took some pictures and I gave them to one of the county inspectors, Ray Marshall, came by, and I gave him the pictures about 8 minutes of rain. What it did in 8 minutes, we are in a position where 15th Street comes down with this logging. It just stopped right there. And there's like three homes that are really in trouble right there, because it doesn't have enough slop. It's got 0% slop. So we have all this water concentrated there. There's no drainage system. There's nothing like that. So what I'm going to do, I'm gonna do it right, and I'm going to try to make it as best possible. But I mean, the rest of this is just, I can't do it all. It is going to have the city come over there and do something about it. I know that it's coming out of my pocket, but for the best of all, I hope that we get the water to go to where it's supposed to go, which is down. And that's the problem. If I do that, we're going to have the problem with the drainage. It's just going to be flooded inside, because the street is just higher than the property line level.
I think it's kind of important if you get an opportunity. I think Phil went down there. Did you go down there to see it today, Phil?
Yeah.
What it really changes the it has like a temporary curb on it, and that curb is like 5 feet inside of the property. So when he puts the new curb, it's going to come out 5 feet, which is going to affect all the neighbors down the road. That's what he's trying to mention.
This is Paso and 15th.
No, that's actually in 50th Street in Paso Robles and Warner.
Paso Robles and Warner.
Yeah.
Okay.
He also wanted to mention that, and it's just construction criticism where, in many cases, they feel that the meters aren't read correctly because of the fact that they just continuously change in the water rates. What they do is that these families kind of watch themselves, and when the price goes up in water, they make sure that there's no leaks or they don't leave the water in the shower running or the bathrooms and stuff like that. So it's kind of important, I think, that especially in this area where these folks live at, because I think you have about 3 or 4 people who are here that are being affected by that increase in water. And this is what this gentleman wanted to say. But again, he wants to thank the board that gave him an opportunity to come here and for the first time be here present to explain some of the problems that exist here in Oceano.
I appreciate that. As suggested, it'd be good to come into the office, and you know, if you're individually, or if you know of a group of people that is having a problem with the readings, there might have been earthquake damage or something like that to the meters that might affect a number of people. So
I missed his name. I'm sorry.
Lo que ha dicho el presidente es que si hay personas ausentes que tengan problemas con esto del agua, que vengan a la oficina y sometan una queja y que traigan a esas personas que están afectadas en la comunidad de ustedes o en el barrio de ustedes ahí cerca. Porque yo sé que van a mandar a una persona a investigar a ver si no hay cositas ahí o se tira el agua.
They're both Fernando Chavez?
No, I'm Francisco. Francisco or Fernando?
Oh, Fernando. Okay, I'm sorry.
And he's my name. We're not related. By the way, we're not related.
Nothing you know.
This happens to be Chavez, too.
Okay.
Yes.
Antonio Maldonado, 2060 B Street, here in Oceano. I am here to ask you if now you know how we feel when we go someplace and we don't speak the language. So therefore, we do need to have somebody over here that speaks Spanish so that you guys, you know, get something out of it and so they can understand what we're talking about also, and you also will understand what we're saying. Secondly, the other part is about the television. It is very important that we do keep it, okay? Because I know that we do have the money for that, okay? And there was I forgot the page. Okay. Well, anyway, I'll bring it up sometime. Anyway, this is what we need, and I'm demanding that we keep the television. I'm not asking, because this is how we're getting through with a lot of people, through television. And having our Spanish speaker, we can also gather the Spanish people, and they can also help us beautify our town, which I call my village, because it's no longer a town. It's growing smaller and smaller every time I turn around. So let's get with it, and I'm very proud of all of you, and I know that together we're all going to work together. Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio.
Please forgive me. I'm sorry. But I forgot to let you know that my daughter-in-law received her water bill, and it was double, $200. And it's only two little ones and her. And it's $200. She just lived here in 19 and B Street. I'm going to bring the bill tomorrow to the office and see what you guys can do with it. Thank you.
Thank you. Other public comment, and please, televising the meetings is on the agenda, so if you could address items that are not on the agenda.
Thank you. Lon Mikowski, Oceano. I'd like to address the issue of the gay graffiti that's been popping up in certain parts of the neighborhoods of Oceano. There is a problem with this. The Sheriff's Department is well aware of it. The Gang Task Force knows what it means, what it's all about. But as far as the OCSD is concerned, and as far as I'm concerned with the OCSD and the gang graffiti, I'm going to address the issue of the catch basin on Wilmar and 21st Street, where over a month now there has been Oceano 13 gang graffiti on the fence. It should have been removed immediately. Leaving this information, this tagging information on public property empowers these people in the corruption of their minds, in the meaning of the symbols, to keep doing it. And I believe it's your responsibility to see that at least on your property, when it's tagged, it's immediately removed, as it would be on private property if people don't feel so intimidated that they don't remove it, which I've also seen. So I'd like to address that issue to you, hopefully that you'll take care of that. and remove it.
That was at Wilmar and 21st at, on the
catch basin at Wilmar and 21st.
Can we have the utility department take a look at that? And any other comment? Okay, hearing. Good, Mark.
Mark Marble, Oceano. About a month ago, there was some rustling out in the alley, according to my mom, and heard a couple of thuds. And next morning, there was a table and couch conveniently out in the middle of the alley. And this has been over a month ago now. And we talked about this before, but possibly there might be some discussion in the future, serious negotiation with the our garbage company to rectify. I know this has been discussed before, but it needs to be reminded again that our alleys are getting trashed, and then people look at some of our alleys as good targets, especially where there's extra foliage, high fences, where there's very little visibility. We need to talk about our alleys and how to deal with this cleanup. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mark.
President Hill, Peggy Wilson, Oceano. I wonder, with your permission, Mr. President, if it might not be helpful to share with you how helpful I find the notes that are provided for us on our agendas each time. If you look, you'll notice that on the inside page of our agenda, there are rules for presenting testimony, and I won't read them word for word, but I will summarize. And what I like to do is come in and first look to see if the item that I'm interested in speaking about is on the agenda. Because if it is on the agenda, then I wouldn't speak during public comment to that. I would save my remarks for when that agenda item came up. And these are all very simple, and they're very easy to read, and I have found them very helpful. So I hope that everyone in the public will find them as helpful as I find them, and I believe it will assist you in streamlining your meetings in the future. I'm so happy to see so many people here this evening. I'm sure you all agree, and I'm very, very happy to see the meeting's attendance getting bigger and bigger each meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Other comment? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 5A, review and approval of the minutes from January 26th, 2005 meeting. Is there any comment on the minutes?
President Hill, Peggy Wilson. Yes, I have comments on the minutes. Again, I would like to note on page 3, there was an added item on last meeting's agenda. Although there was no action taken by the board, I do like to note that that was an added item. Also, with regard to item number 12 on your agenda, board member item discussions, I see that we're looking at the fire facility charge ordinance being brought back to the board. I, in the past, asked that directors' remarks and discussions be placed at the beginning of the agenda, which previously President Dahl did. I would like to ask the board to be mindful that discussion of very important issues after most of the audience has gone home could give rise to criticisms of the appearance that there are things that some of us might would like to know about. And with regard to item 15, executive session, I'm seeking clarification from your board. If we were discussing the what was discussed, which public employee was discussed? Was it district legal counsel, since district legal counsel is the only one I see specified here? and a letter about what to whom. I would very much like clarification of that because it's unclear what you all actually did in your session. Also, with regard to item number 14, written communication, it states that General Manager Cooney reported that the district had received a letter from Peggy Wilson concerning her thoughts on the application of the Brown Act. I would like to state for the record and for the benefit of the public that what I delivered to you were not my thoughts. It was, in fact, a letter of demand for cure and correction. This is a legal term, and what I cited were several points of law in that letter. That letter is a demand that you make it right. And after 2 weeks' time has elapsed, if there's no response from you, then I have the option of moving it further in a court proceeding. I truly do not enjoy this kind of work, but what you did was very, very important. And we are the public for whom you work, so compliance with the Public Records Act and the Brown Act are absolutely paramount to your success as a board and our trust and confidence in you. Now, again, that was a letter of cure and correction, and in that, as you know, I expressed my concern that because barely a week prior to your taking this action, four-fifths of your board and legal counsel had attended a workshop that it was my understanding was all about training you how to go about doing your business, doing our business. And as you know, I have referred that to another agency in the county. And it's not because I hate y'all. It's not because I just want to beat you up or I like doing this. But please, correct your minutes to reflect that what I did was begin a legal process against you. And that complaint, which it was, they were not my thoughts. This was a complaint, a legal complaint. And it was referred to the district attorney's office. Not because I like to, not because I hate you, but because we have got to achieve authenticity here. So please correct these minutes, and please explain to me what really happened to whom in closed session. Thank you.
We can correct the minutes to show that was a complaint. The district council, I believe, expressed the opinion that we respectfully disagree with the complaint. We understand the complaint, and we respectfully disagree, so we have a difference of opinion on that. With respect to the closed session proceedings, there had been a complaint filed by one of the residents. Perhaps, Alex, did you...
With regard to the closed session, there was a complaint filed by a city resident or a district resident. Under the Brown Act, you're not required to provide any additional information beyond the fact that you're going to closed session for purposes of hearing a complaint. And because of personnel confidentiality concerns, we will not disclose anything further regarding who it was about or what action was taken.
One aspect of the complaint had to do with district policies that are under review, and there was no action taken on those policies, but we're reviewing the policies in accordance with our goals to bring them up to date. Many of our policies haven't been reviewed or updated since 1984, so we're trying to bring review them as we can and bring them up to date.
President, sorry, if I could ask for a point of clarification, there was a statement on page 3, there was an added item that I missed. If I could know what that was.
It's noted as an added item.
I think it's at the very bottom of the page. I think it's noted as an added item. On the minute?
Yeah. Okay, I was assuming there was a problem.
Excuse me, Peggy, did you have there was the added item on page 3. What was your comment on that?
My comment simply was that I wanted to acknowledge it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any comment from the board on the minutes?
I do not ask for any more public comment.
Is there any more public comment on the minutes? Hearing none. Bill, do you have any comment?
No.
Fern? Then I guess I'll look for a motion to approve the minutes as corrected with the notation that it was a complaint filed by Peggy Wilson.
Also moved.
I'll second that.
Okay, moved and second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Answer approved as corrected. Do we have the representative from the Sheriff's Department? Please.
Senior Deputy Marty Lesperance with the Sheriff's Office. I'd like to thank you for having me present here. I just wanted to make comment about the Sheriff's Office, some of the things that are going on today and within the past 30 days or so. I've noticed some concerns, if I could address those as well. Is that okay with you, Mr. President? First of all, I'd like to say that we have 22 deputies here at the Sheriff's Office right now, not including our commander and other senior deputies such as myself. But we are hiring, and those of you who have concern about bilingual people, we need some bilingual people here. And you have people who might fit our criteria. I encourage you to have them apply because we're hiring now. And in order for them to get on the list is you get online, you go to the Sheriff's Personnel Department, and get an application form. We're looking for good people and people to represent this community. I've been here for the last 17 years representing mostly Oceano during that entire time, both from the Detective Bureau and on patrol. So we would welcome your input and people who you would recommend to represent your community. Absolutely.
That's the important issue.
Max Pedillo, Santa Market. Lo que ha dicho el oficial es que tienen 22 policías o oficiales aquí en el pueblo de Oceano que trabajan aquí en esta oficina y que tienen posiciones para personas bilingües que quieren aplicar para ser oficiales en el Sheriff's y ojalá que también tengan para las oficinas que tienen aquí. Están para ayudar a la comunidad.
The next item. Your community is being targeted by several groups of people, but one of my main concerns with the community is the lack of cooperation from some of the people who are either intimidated or less than concerned about their neighbors. We see a lot of things. We had a series of residential burglaries recently where people saw other people going into their neighbors' houses, and I just want to express to you that you need to be good neighbors to your family and friends. They're specifically targeting poorly lit areas, all those crime prevention things you really need to pay attention to. We recently caught two of the most major residential burglars. One of them, you guys may have seen the helicopter last night. That was one of them. We got him, and we got the other one just before that. So we got a lot of property returned. It was a good job by several different agencies. the graffiti that was mentioned before. We caught those that night. There were five people in custody on that case. But I don't know if there's something in place where you go and paint that, but if we can help in any way to relay that information where the graffiti is out there, we'd be happy to do it. What's that? Well, yeah, that's a long process. It needs to be done immediately. You don't want that night. They did 27 different spots of this at the Oceana School. They did the bus stop. I don't know if anybody saw it. They did 21st and Wilmar, which was mentioned before. All during that 24-hour period of time. So, but they're in custody now, and it should be cleaned up. That's really all I have. If there's any questions from the community, from the board, we have.
Okay, I have a question. Have received several complaints from our residents in our community regarding the drug dealing that's going on. There doesn't seem to be being anything done about it. I know from time to time it's reported, and for whatever reason, the drug task force, if that's what you call those people, are sitting and watching this and yet not taking action. Maybe it's a great thing to want to catch the big fish, but in our community, we would like the little fish picked up so that they're gone. You know, it's not fair to the people that live in the neighborhoods to have to put up with this and see it and go on. People move out because of it. And, you know, I'm beating you up, and I shouldn't be because I know
not at all.
That
I
not actually South have... County's or South Station's desire not to pick these people up. But
I can address those issues. First of all, you're dealing with two separate entities. Narcotic Task Force is a county-run agency made up of several jurisdictions. Yeah. The Sheriff's Office has their own Narcotics Task Force made up of five senior deputies and a sergeant, and you're right, they're busy. What I suggest to people with that concern, and I've come across this several times, find a deputy that you want to talk to that you can relay information to personally. I have several people in this community who call me on nearly a daily basis, and it's easier for us to get to know you or the people in the community if you call us personally. If there's an issue across the street from you, we're going to ask you to take license plate numbers down. We're going to ask you to make some proactive choices yourself. But because of the way the law is structured and limited, we can't just walk into their house and do something.
Well, these things are being relayed to us as board members. We're all quite comfortable calling up the commander or something and telling him this is happening. And we know that we can do that.
The commanders are busy.
Other people do not feel comfortable reporting it, or if they do, they feel nothing's being done.
I understand how that can be true. But what I'm saying is it needs to be broken down to a smaller level, not just the commander, because he can't disseminate to everybody within his station. Ask them to find a deputy that they can trust, and there's several of us, and talk to him personally. We don't give out the information. We don't let the people know that who's telling us those things. But I work with people every day, and we're getting a lot of. I know it seems as though we're not arresting a lot of people, but we are on a daily basis. We made four arrests tonight alone, and we're working as hard as we can. Resources is limited. That's why we're hiring, trying to get more deputies out there.
Staff, then there's probably a complaint I think you've had lately. I think you guys received a complaint that perhaps you can forward to the sergeant.
I'd be happy to take it and address it.
I have a question and also a complaint.
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
Max Pedillo, Channel Market. Si tienen alguna pregunta del sheriff, por favor, pueden preguntarle algo que les haya afectado a ustedes aquí en la comunidad. Para eso está aquí ahorita. Yo tengo una queja.
I have a complaint, and that is that when we call the office here, it seems like there's never an answer here. It always goes to the San Luis Obispo Dispatch. Is that where it's at?
That's true.
Okay. The other is that there has been times when folks need the help of the sheriffs, and they have physically come here to this office, and they find it closed. What hours is this office open?
Not The sheriff's office here is open 8 to 5. They're closed for lunch, generally speaking. Nobody is dispatched out of this office. All our communications go through San Luis Obispo. If they need immediate help, they can call 911, and a deputy will be out immediately. Otherwise, there's only two secretaries that staff this office, and they are not dispatchers. They're only there to take reports from us and type them out and input them in the computer. So anybody that has a complaint, they need to call 911 if it's an emergency, or they will get transferred to the main station and a deputy will be dispatched from there. Okay?
Ha dicho el oficial que dice que esta oficina aquí abre de las 5 a la, de las 8 a las 5 de la tarde, pero que si tienen alguna emergencia que tienen que llamar al 911 o pueden llamar a la oficina de San Luis Obispo, que es el dispatch, porque aquí tienen dos personas que son secretarias que nomás ellas nomás toman los reportes de los oficiales aquí presentes. Entonces ya saben, en caso de una emergencia, el 911 y para que manden hagan dispatch a un oficial. Si tienen algunas preguntas, aquí es cuando. Otra cosa que es muy importante es esto, que del graffiti. No podemos permitir que marquen las paredes aquí en ese pueblo. Por favor, necesitamos ayuda de la comunidad. Si ustedes ven a una persona que está marcando las paredes, repórtenlos a los policías, porque se mira muy feo esta comunidad si está pintada. Y no se dejen intimidar por los vecinos también. Lo que ha dicho el oficial, que hay personas que intimidan a los vecinos. No se dejen intimidar. Llaman a las policías y reportan a esas personas.
Es que lo que tienen que las calles están muy oscuras. Por eso ustedes andan haciendo esto. Es que la nueva calle no tiene luz. Por
eso. What I've said is that we're not going to tolerate graffiti in this town. And every citizen has a responsibility to report any graffiti or any wrongdoings, so they call the sheriff department. He's saying that the lighting in this town is very poor, and as the town darkens, the people come out, and they're not about to come out and confront these individuals in the dark.
If you can just mention also, we have a language bank that we have access to, so it doesn't matter which language you speak. Call the sheriff's office and they'll interpret it for us.
Tienen un banco de lenguaje para las personas que llamen. No le hace qué idioma, en qué idioma hablan, tienen para responder.
Any other comments?
You said that there were arrests made on the graffiti the night that it happened.
Yeah, there were 5 arrests made that night. 3 of them are still in custody. 2 have been released to their parents. The reason for that, those arrests were because of the community's input. We were told how they were progressing throughout about a 25-minute period. They started at the Oceana School, and they progressed from the bus stop to 21st and Wilmar, where we caught them with paint in their hands, paint on their fingers and on their clothes. And so they're in custody, yeah.
Were they, 2 of them were minors?
All five were minors. Yeah.
And so what happens in a situation like that? They're taken in, released their parents, is there
no
fines, courts?
The 3 that stayed in custody were multiple offenders, so they were already on probation, so they're staying in. The other 2 were first-time offenders, so they were released to their parents. It's just the way the juvenile justice system is.
Is there fines involved in that?
I was one of the arresting officers. We charged them with the felony offense section of vandalism, so they'll have to be, restitution will be part of their sentencing whenever that occurs.
Okay.
You mentioned there were some arrests tonight.
Yeah, but I can't comment on all that yet. Not yet. We're not done.
Good.
We better let you get back to your job.
Thank you very much.
I'm here for you.
Yes, my name is Ivan Chavez. And after I went to go check up with my mom, she was there, so I could stay home. They have poor lighting in the streets. My bike almost ran into the sidewalk, and I almost crashed into something when I was coming back over here. So it does have poor lighting, especially in Paso Robles and up further in Oceano. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Moving to item seven, reports of district representatives. I attended the finance subcommittee meeting on Monday, February 7th, with Vice President Mia, and on that meeting we had three items basically being discussed. One of them was whether the district should adopt a pay-as-you-go policy for district purchases, or possibly start using credit on district purchases. I think the sense of the committee was that we should progress with a pay-as-you-go plan as we've used over the years. There is existing district debt related to when the district began taking state water about several years ago. There's approximately $400,000 remaining on bonded indebtedness for that. It's approximately 4.8% with 20 years remaining on the payment. And consideration is being taken as whether we should pay off that indebtedness or continue to finance it. And we're looking into possibly refinancing that at a lower rate and other options. A third item was consideration of specifying how reserves would be allocated to specific projects or not, and we took no action on that, but we're considering whether that would be advisable as well. Barbara, did you want to say anything more about that?
When you were talking about the long-term debt, I think what we did was direct staff to go back and look to see. A couple of years ago when we looked at it, it was better to leave monthly payments on that, or twice a year actually, payments on that, because we were getting more money on interest. But now that the interest has turned around so much, we had asked staff to go back and rework the numbers to see which is the best thing to do. So we didn't make any decision. We didn't say finance it at a lower interest rate. We're trying to decide whether it's good to pay it off or to leave it as it is, and we do need staff to give us a new set of figures on that, and I believe that they are working on that. Part of it is in the, you'll see part of it in the financial statement, but not new part for them to look at for us.
Thank you. The other item was the ad hoc bilingual meeting, which was also on Monday the 7th. The sense of the committee was that we are attempting to hire in the district. We have a vacancy for a bookkeeper, receptionist, clerk, and that we definitely want to hire a bilingual person for that position. And we've asked help from the community to, if you know someone who would be qualified for that job and is a bilingual person, please encourage them to apply. The application forms are available at the district office desk, and they're there and available. So if you know someone who might be qualified and interested in that position, please have them apply. Barbara?
Okay. I was busy this month. First meeting was a community enhancement meeting that Vern and I are on, and community enhancement deals with street lighting, and it also deals sometimes with cleaning up in the alleys a couple times a year. We were dealing with street lighting on this particular meeting. We had a resident from Christmas Tree Lane, or Christmas Tree and Melody Lane, requesting a light be put in, a street light. When the development was built, there were not enough people in there that wanted a street light, so the developer didn't have to put one in. It was signed off. OCSD doesn't have the money to buy a street light. Our street lighting fund pays the electricity for all the lights in town. But according to the rules, if somebody comes here wanting a light, and this applies to everybody, if you want a light on your street, you come and you say, gee, I'd like to have a light. Then you put it in writing, you come and visit us, and then we send out a survey to everybody within 200 feet. Is that correct, Mitch?
Correct.
200 feet, and those people send back the survey, yes, I want a light, or no, I don't want a light, then the next question is, are you willing to help pay for this? When we sent this out in that area, we had 7 people said, yes, I want a light. 3 people said they didn't care either way, so you could count that as a yes, I guess. And you had 3 people that were dead set against us, against it. But every single one of these people said no, they were not willing to pay for it. In other words, they did not want to have a little assessment district to buy that light. We suggested to the applicant for this that perhaps we would be more than willing to go with her to speak to Supervisor Asajian to see if perhaps he had a little bit of money, because $5,000 is not a lot of money to the county, but it is certainly a great deal of money to us, to all of us. $5,000 is a lot of money. To the county, that's a drop in the bucket. To see if perhaps somewhere in some of his funds there was some money. We'll be going up with the applicant to talk to Supervisor Sajin about that. So that was how we left that meeting. Is there anything else on that, Vern?
The darkening of one of those streetlights.
Oh, yeah. People just down the street, they came, and the light's too bright where they live. They don't like all that light. So we do have the power to say, okay, we'll darken 2 sides of it to see if that still helps. But one of the other suggestions by some of the people that were at this meeting was perhaps if you put lighting on the ground, which I found to be that I did not think that was a particularly good idea, because number one, vandalism, you know, somebody's running along and they knock the lights out, well, that would be a lot more maintenance for us. And number two, I didn't think that the sheriff's office would think that was so great to know where the bad people are. I know sheriff's department likes lots of light, just like most of us do. But sometimes our neighbors, you know, your neighbors don't. So we all have to get along on that. So that, also I think we did maybe talk a little bit at community enhancement about how twice a year we try to clean up the alleys. Now this is not the twice a year cleanup from the garbage company that you see on your water bills. It said there's going to be a semi-annual cleanup. It's not that. On the alleys, twice a year we maybe go down. We rent a couple of dumpsters. One we put at the Boys and Girls Club, and one we put here, I think.
We put one at the Halcyon Market.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Halcyon Market and the Boys and Girls Club. And we get some volunteers, and Dave usually is kind enough to loan us his flatbed. And people go up and down the alleys, and they'll throw these couches or this other stuff that people have been so rude as to dump it in the alleys, and haul that out, and then we put it in the dumpster, and the garbage company comes and takes that away. So that's a little bit of community enhancement, and when we get ready to do it, we'll sure be looking for some of you folks to give us a hand getting the stuff out of the alleys. So that was the community enhancement meeting. The next meeting, or is there any questions on community enhancement?
I do.
Yeah.
Max Pedillo, Channel Market. I think it's kind of important on these issues you're talking about, Barbara, and also that you talked about, Jim, about the bilingual. If I may briefly bring them up to date, because these are things that affect the community. Ha dicho el presidente que tuvimos una junta para estar de acuerdo que íbamos a emplear a una persona bilingüe aquí en la oficina esta. Si saben de alguna persona, que vengan a aplicar. Por favor, que vengan a aplicar aquí en la oficina. La otra, ha dicho Barbara, que tuvieron unas juntas de personas que han pedido para que tengan luces en las calles. Y ha dicho que no hay dinero para las luces en las calles. Que a lo mejor el condado tiene dinero para hacer eso. Y tenemos que poner un cuestionario de la comunidad, si se necesita o no se necesita, pero no hay garantías que haya para poner esas luces. La otra es que los callejones, que 2 veces al año limpian los callejones aquí en Oceano, y el señor Angelo empresta sus troques para levantar los colchones y los sofás. Entonces ya saben que la comunidad tiene una responsabilidad también de no tirar su basura en los callejones, y cuando sea necesario de ayudar, que haga voluntarios para ayudar a esta comunidad. Porque aquí vivimos en esta comunidad y la queremos bien bonita, ¿que no? Así debe de ser.
Okay, I've been asked for a 5-minute break, so we'll take a break until 7:35.